Investing Simplified is brought to you by Chuck Price, President and Wealth Manager of Price Financial Group Wealth Management Incorporated, a registered investment advisor firm and author of Investing Simplified, the book. Individual situations will vary, and the information on this show should only be relied upon when coordinated with individual professional advice. Other parties present on this broadcast are not affiliated with Price Financial Group Wealth Management Incorporated. Investing Simplified is the longest-running live financial show in America, with a financial advisor, an estate planning attorney, and a CPA to answer your questions for free, and is broadcast live from Portland, Oregon on affiliated stations throughout the Pacific Northwest. Chuck can be contacted by visiting www.pfgwm.com. You can email Chuck with a question at askchuck@pfgwm.com. Or you can call him right now at 503-417-9595. That's 503-417-9595. Or for our long distance and podcast listeners, you can call toll free at 877-733-1011. That's 877-733-1011. Now, here's the host of Investing Simplified, Chuck Price.
Well, good morning, Pacific Northwest, and welcome to Investing Simplified. This is the only live financial show in Portland on Saturday morning that you can actually pick up the phone, call in, and ask a question about investing, taxes, or the law. Now, just a little disclaimer here. Today, Carl Jepson, our estate planning attorney, is off for the weekend, but in studio with me is he came out of his bear cave, Kevin Stege, the Baker Colson CPA.
Hello, Chuck.
Yeah, you look like you survived tax season.
I survived, and this is just a hologram of me right now.
Okay, you're only bruised a little bit on the side of the head.
That's so, right.
Yeah, not bad.
Yep.
Well, listen, we got an exciting show today because we're going to have on the radio with us Harry Dent, the founder and co-founder of Dent Research, or he's actually founder of Dent Research, but he's a co-editor of Economy and Markets Daily, a free newsletter. And if you haven't signed up for it, we have it on our website. You got to go to our website and sign up for Harry's free newsletter because they've added some things to it, like videos each week, where you can actually hear Harry or Rodney talking. And I got to tell you, those are invaluable. Harry's got a new book out called Zero Hour, so I'm really anxious to talk to him. And Harry is an economist, author, speaker all over the world. And this guy, I've been following Harry since the 1990s when his book came out, The Great Boom Ahead. And I built my practice doing financial planning seminars on the Great Boom Ahead. And with no further ado, Harry, are you on the line?
Yeah.
Well, I just gave you a good build up there. Hey, listen, I just saw about your new book, Zero Hour.
Yeah, that came out very end of last year.
Okay. What would you say is the number one reason why somebody ought to pick up that book today?
Well, you know, we give, you know, major updates to our economic research, but also we talk about a cycle I've been warning about for many years. It's a cycle that goes back to the advent of democracy itself. That was the biggest thing that when democracy met free market capitalism, the biggest thing that's happened in economics agricultural revolution or something. So we're seeing that same sort of thing. It's just starting with Trump and Brexit on these populist movements, and that's not how it ends. So we also talk about the biggest political and social revolution, in hundreds of years.
Well, listen, one of the things that concerns me is 2 years ago, I remember distinctly at your economic summit, telling us about the fact that we were probably at a time in history where it looked almost like civil war again in America. We're divided right down the middle, a country divided. And that division is still there. It doesn't look like it's getting any mended.
No, it's getting worse. We track this with Pew Research, and every time they come out a year or two later, the differences between the, you know, extreme right and extreme left just get even more extreme. So this is something where I literally think the country could break into two. You could have a red America and a blue America, or maybe a couple sections, and that would be a big deal. And then this can happen. This is happening in places in Europe and stuff. And So, this is a really big deal. We haven't been this polarized as a nation since the Civil War, literally.
Well, I really, one of your newsletters this week really caught me when you said, storm warning, real estate starting to crash in key cities.
Yeah, I mean, you know, because I travel a lot, and everywhere from San Francisco to New York to London to Singapore, Hong Kong, all of Australia. I mean, the greatest bubbles in history, especially in these kind of key English-speaking coastal cities where foreign buyers like Chinese love to buy, and Russians and Middle Eastern thugs and all types of people. And it's just gone nuts. In San Francisco, teachers are having to live in dorm rooms.
Well, I read that and I thought, holy cow. I mean, the prices, when you mentioned that in Manhattan, prices have sales have fallen 40% since the second quarter of 2017.
Yeah, I mean, it's just startling. And real estate agents we know up there have been telling us that the high end was cracking, but this means it finally really cracked. I mean, to be down 40%, that's massive.
Well, I know in our local area, home sales, because I have clients who are always retiring, they're selling off maybe their rental property or they're selling off some of their homes. One case had a client just sell a beach house to get revenue for retirement. And boy, I'll tell you, the market's not as good as it once was. Because used to get 5 or 6 bids. Now, you're just happy to get it sold.
Well, you know, it depends. I mean, San Francisco's as strong as ever, but New York, Miami, London, and parts of Australia are starting to crack. I've seen it firsthand. So,
well, also on the economy, what do you know? I heard you. I watched one of your interviews the other day, and you're still thinking that sometime between now and 2020. We're going to have that big dip in the market and also in real estate.
Yeah, you know, I tell you, it's almost like real estate is leading this, kind of like it did last time. I think real estate may crack, you know, with or before stocks. It's usually the other way around. But the stock market, to me, has been going up in a channel, especially ever since Trump got elected. And we warned people there was going to be a big rally. I mean, it's hard to argue with tax cuts. It's the ultimate free lunch on top of 9 years of $14, $15 trillion of QE. It looks like to me that we're in a correction here, and we're probably going to see one more rally into as late as August, and I think that's time to run for the hills. But, the market's still, if it were going to crash, I always tell our subscribers that the first crash in a major bubble like this is usually 40% on average over 2.6 months. Well, we're 2.5 months into this correction, and we should have seen a bigger crash if that was the top. So I'd say we got one more run up to about 28,000 on the Dow, and then I'd tell people, look, you know, don't look a gift horse in the mouth. Take your money and run.
Well, from I believe January 26th to February 5th, the S&P dropped 10.2%, and has only recovered about half of that. So, that to me, a 10.2 drop in that short a period of time is enough to wake anybody up.
It was sharp, but you got to expect that here. But it should have been deeper if that was a top. If that really was a top, we should be down 30% by now. So I think it's probably going to favor the upside. And I think Trump's promising some tax cut too or something. So, you know, market's going to like that.
Well, I hope he's going to be able to get it through Congress because they haven't been exactly agreeable on getting stuff passed.
Yeah, but, you know, they did on the tax cuts. I mean, everybody likes a free lunch.
Well, I can't disagree with that, but I tell you what, I do like the fact that our investors have more money in their pocket. That's for sure. Well, listen, Harry, I had a note here that you've got a short time today. And I know that you evidently have something scheduled, so I don't want to hold up your time.
Yeah, it's good time. You can get back to me pretty soon. I think we'll see more clarity on the markets in the next couple of weeks, and I do think it's more likely to break to the upside one more time. So, people can kind of hang in there for now. But I tell you, I especially warn people on real estate because real estate gets illiquid very quick. If I'm a little late getting out of the stock market, I can still get out, you know, in a minute. But real estate's not that way a lot of the time. So when this real estate market reverses like it's already doing in New York, it's almost too late.
Well, and you got the double whammy because interest rates are going up as well.
Yeah.
So
that,
people
that
to buy you.
I've seen the most of that for now. It's hard to tell. We're right at a place we said a year ago we'd be near 3% on the 10-year. There's very strong resistance there from a long downtrend up through the tops. If it breaks above there, it's probably going to go to 4% pretty quick. But I wouldn't be surprised if we've seen the interest rate rise, because I think the Treasury bond market is looking at a slower economy than is the stock market. And when it comes to these things, the Treasury bond market is usually smarter.
Well, I just want to get a follow-up with you, too. On your economic summit, is there still openings for listeners can still go to Austin and go to the economic summit?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure there is. It's October 25th to 27th.
Okay, I'm going to be there. I can't wait to see it. Harry,
okay.
Thank you again.
Okay, bye-bye.
Thank you, bye-bye. Okay, we're going to take a quick break and come back with the tax investigator. You're listening to Investing Simplified. If you've got a question about what we just talked about, or you got a question about taxes, you got a question about, well, anything just about, give us a call, 503-417-9595. That's toll-free, 877-733-1011. We'll be right back with Investing Simplified.
We do Investing Simplified.
Hello, this is Kevin Stege, shareholder with Baker & Coulson Certified Public Accountants, serving the Portland and Southwest Washington areas for almost 40 years. We are a full-service accounting and consulting firm offering our services to a wide range of business and individual clients. One of the largest expenses to a household or a business is its tax burden. While off-the-shelf tax products can help file simple returns, they can't know your plans for the future and not only provide insight and planning to help you get there, but actually help you along the way. There are just some things that can't be replaced by experience. Whether you are just beginning your working career or have a well-established business with many employees, rely on the professionals at Baker & Coulson to help in an efficient, accurate, and personalized manner. We are located at 2414 Northeast Division in Gresham and can be reached at our website at bakercoulson.com or 503-666-5569. That's bakercoulson.com, 503-666-5569. And remember, at Baker & Coulson, our service is the product our clients remember most.
Do you have a tax question? Here's your opportunity to ask Kevin Stege, CPA and shareholder of the Baker Coulson CPA firm, that tax question that's been keeping you up at night. You can call Kevin 503-417-9595 or toll free at 877-733-1011. Now, here's the CPA with the tax answers, Kevin Stege.
Well, welcome back to Investing Simplified, and it's good to be back in the saddle with you here, Chuck. I guess, during tax season, there's no sense trying to drum up more work when you got more work than you can shake a stick at, right?
So, well, that's right.
Yeah, but yeah, it is good to be back, good to be sharing some things that we've learned over the course of a few months here. But first off, I do have to say, I take offense a little bit at what Harry said there about tax cuts. He called them a free lunch. You know, it's
our own money. I know. I know. Yeah.
No, I was kidding. I was kidding.
I'm not.
Okay.
Yeah.
I think tax cuts are a good thing. But anyway, it's actually, I think he described it pretty good, because that's it is right on top of 9 years of all this economic easing that they've been doing. But today on the Tax Investigator, I thought we would take a look at an interesting court case. I always like these court cases, and I was hoping Carl would be in today, because I know that always gets his gets the hair on the back of his neck standing up, and he gets involved in all that. And this was a pretty good one. It's one of these courtroom twists that you didn't see coming, but it has a happy ending. It's a good story for the taxpayer, but. Let's get into the details here. So this is a case of an IRA audit, if you will, And this is, I do have to give credit where credit's due. I got this off of a tax blog from Paul Caron, Dean of the Pepperdine University School of Law, an article written by Brian Camp. They did a great job of laying out the details on this. But basically, this is the case of Miss Marks, who had a fairly sizable IRA, $200,000 in it. So that's a pretty good IRA, and I'm assuming those were probably has to have a rollover in there somewhere. But self-directed IRA in 2013, she wanted to roll it into another self-directed IRA by a different company. She wanted a different management company. I'm sure that's what spurred this whole thing. And normally, Chuck, we would do, you'd set up the new self-directed IRA and the old trustee would do a trustee-to-trustee transfer into the new IRA. You don't even touch the funds. Everybody's happy. No distribution, no 1099 typically even. And
do them every day.
That's right. But in this case, it was a little different. She had $200,000 in this IRA, $96,000 in cash, and we'll say roughly two, remember it was self-directed, two loans that she had made. One loan was a $60,000 loan to a friend, and so she loaned the money and she received the interest back as income. So it's a
so she had the loan inside the IRA?
Correct. She took money from her IRA, loaned 60 grand to a friend, probably a business opportunity, and that friend made regular payments and she made good interest income on it. So, okay.
Okay, so you can't borrow against your IRA, but you can take money out of it and give it to somebody else?
Well, this was a loan. So, yes, it was it's an investment. Yes, you can loan your money out, invest it in any way that you want. So we had a $60,000 note to a friend and a $40,000 note to her father. Same situation, received interest back. And if you don't do the trustee-to-trustee transfer and they pass out of the money out to you, you have 60 days to roll it over. Everyone's probably heard of that 60-day rule. Well, apparently, these notes kept her from doing a trustee-to-trustee transfer. I don't know the details behind it, but they distributed the cash to her, about $96,000, and they gave the notes to her. And so she has 60 days to get this into her new self-directed IRA. Cash was no problem. Cut a check. Deposited.
The notes would be a problem.
But the notes were a problem.
Yeah.
And apparently, upon probably correspondence audit from the IRS, they questioned whether she got it in time. And so basically had to prove that she got it in. She didn't give them good enough documentation. They ended up in court. Now, she had an attorney that basically just argued, hey, the notes were properly put into the new IRA, and however they do it, whether you actually hand the note to them or not. Who knows how they do it. But anyway, the IRS said, no, you didn't get them in. You owe tax on this $100,000 as a early IRA distribution with penalty, with interest. So this is, I title this court case Bungled, Botched, and Beautiful, because the bungling happened where she didn't get the notes into the IRA. But where did this whole case get botched? Well, It didn't get botched. It basically got botched by the IRS and her. The IRS said, you owe $45,000 on these two notes. She says, no, we got them properly funded in. But neither position was even remotely correct. Not even close. They got to the judge, and I'm going to ask our listeners to take a moment and think back to the facts that I laid out. Is there anything that jumped out at you that was just a little bit off, that didn't quite sound right? Chuck, you be quiet over there. I know you know. You're going to spoil it. Okay, thank you.
I know nothing.
Okay. Anything sound amiss in that whole scenario?
Well, you want our callers to call in and ask?
No, I'm just giving them time to think.
Okay.
It's a self-test. The problem was the $40,000 note to her father. And when I was reading this article, I was doing the same thing you did earlier. And I was like, huh? That's self-dealing.
Yeah.
That's a prohibited transaction.
That's what I thought.
But that IRA ceased to be an IRA back in 2005 when she issued that note to her father. And therefore, from that point on, it was basically a regular brokerage account, if you will.
A taxable event.
Well, here's the thing. Here's where it becomes beautiful, Chuck. And this is beautiful on multiple levels. So first off, the it becomes think of it now as a brokerage account from 2005. So the $96,000 of cash, a distribution from a brokerage account, that's not a taxable event anymore. She didn't even have to roll it over. That's just a distribution from a brokerage account. That's just moving cash from the left hand to the right hand. So nothing becomes of that. Doesn't have to worry about that. The notes that the IRS were saying, these are distributions, these are taxable, $100,000 of taxable income plus penalty and interest. Same thing. That's just distribution from a brokerage account. That's just moving a note receivable from your left hand to your right hand. So she completely escaped tax on any of those items. Here's where it gets really interesting, though, is the brokerage account should have reported. Where is this at now? She should have reported earnings from that IRA from 2005 until. Wait. Let me go back. So when the prohibited transaction occurred, that whole IRA becomes a taxable distribution in the year the prohibited transaction occurred. So she technically should have had a $200,000 hit on her income plus penalties for a prohibited transaction in 2005. Guess what? The statute's closed. They can't go back.
Over
and
7 years.
It was over 3 years in the past. The statute was closed. She basically converted her whole IRA to a non-taxable brokerage account and got away with it completely scot-free. And basically they had 3 years to assess that.
Only in America.
Only in America. Yeah. And the judge is the one who came up with this. He said, wait a second. IRS, wait a second, counsel. This is a prohibited transaction. Let's go back and make this right to 2005. So there were earnings all the way from 2005 until 2013 on this account that should have been taxable because it's now not in an IRA. All of those earnings, closed years up to 2013, not a cent of it had to be reported. So this is the only drawback is she put that $96,000 into the new IRA, and that's not that was an over contribution. You can't put $96,000 into an IRA because it's not a rollover anymore. So she had to pull that out, pay a little penalty over a couple years for excess contributions, and pick up a couple years of earnings. But anyway,
she got off pretty darn lucky.
That's right.
Well, hey, speaking about that, we got a caller on the line. Dave's got a question for you about a tax question about LLC distributions. Are you there, David?
I'm here. Good morning.
Hey, good morning. Guys, thanks for calling in.
Yeah, you guys provide really good stuff. Hey, I got a question, and I have an LLC, and I have fleet vehicles, and I got to pick up another vehicle. And I was looking at getting that financed through the banks. And I go, I can do it personally,
cheaper,
and I can finance it. Mm-hmm. So how do I do it? Tax advantage? Do I need to go through the bank on an LLC, or can I do that? How does that work?
Yeah, I ran into this question twice this week from people who are setting up LLCs, except they're buying real estate as opposed to vehicles. And from a tax perspective, is this a single member LLC or a partnership?
It's a sole proprietor.
Just sole. Okay.
Yeah.
So for tax purposes, there's really no issue. You can buy it personally. We can contribute it into the proper entity books. And so on and so forth. It's no problem. You can buy it through the LLC or personally. It's the legal side of things, and that's where Carl would need to get involved. Do you want the limited liability protection? How's the vehicle going to be titled? LLC or you personally? How's the insurance policy going to be titled? You personally or the vehicle? And how's the loan? Do you get a better rate personally rather than a business rate? So those are the things to consider. But for tax purposes, we put it where it's supposed to go, and it's not an issue whether it's personal or in the name of the LLC.
Yeah, and I talked to my insurance company, so it needs to be under the business name. And the loan needs to be under the business name to have the insurance under the business name.
Okay.
And then, of course, the banks go, it's a business, and so we're going to bend you over a little bit more, and we're going to charge you more interest rates and, you know, all that. So I'm thinking, if I do the loan, can I deduct the interest, and it pays to me personally from the LLC, even though it's a sole proprietor?
Well, yes. If you take the loan yourself and you pay the interest, we'll take the interest deduction directly on your supposedly Schedule C, your single member LLC tax return. So you just put the interest where it's supposed to go. And you would treat that, I guess, on the double entry accounting, debit interest, credit, member
but
contribution.
He's paying the interest to himself as a loan to the business? Is that what you're saying?
No, interest to the lending company to purchase the
car. Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay, because I thought what David was saying was that he was going to buy it and then pay himself back.
Is that what you were saying, David?
Yeah, I was going to go ahead and say, I'm going to loan the LLC money to purchase this vehicle, make payments back at standard interest rate.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
And can I do that other than paying the bank's interest rate?
Well, yeah, that's absolutely. You've made a, you know, it can be a loan to your LLC or a capital contribution to your LLC. You'd probably want to do a little planning to see what would be the best way to do that. And then when your LLC...
But then wouldn't he have to take the interest that he pays from the LLC as personal interest income?
Well, see, that's what I'm saying. You want
to be kind of a wash.
Set it up right. But if it's interest income personally, it's an interest deduction to the LLC, so it's a wash. Absolutely.
Yeah, it's a wash. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
So there's not a whole lot of advantage than financing it other than having the cash with it.
Well, you're not paying any loan interest. You're using your own money. And,
okay.
And so if your money was going to be in the bank at 20 basis points, I think there's a good advantage from using your own money instead of that.
Okay. Yeah, the insurance company has, and the bank that's going to do the loan has a problem with, you know, having me with a company that has, you know, for me to finance it, and then it's an LLC. They're going, well, we can't do that. We got to charge you a whole bunch of interest rate.
Yeah, if you have the cash, I would put it in your LLC bank account, make the payment in cash by the LLC. Don't pay yourself interest. You're just contributing money to your LLC, and you're done.
And then at some point in time, you could pay that loan back from the LLC and pay it back out to yourself personally.
Yeah, not even a loan, just a distribution.
Yeah, just a distribution.
Yeah.
Okay. Awesome. Yeah. You guys are great. Good stuff.
Great. Thanks for the call, David. We appreciate that. Listen, we're going to take a quick break and come back with Investing Simplified. We've got a caller on the line. We're going to be right to you, Lee, and we'll be right back to Investing Simplified. If you've got a question, pick up the phone, give us a call, 503-417-9595, toll free, 877-733-1011. You're listening to Investing Simplified.
We do Investing Simplified.
Hello, my name is Carl Jepsen, estate planning attorney and co-host of the long-running radio talk show, Investing Simplified. My law practice emphasizes estate planning and probate. My mission statement is practical estate planning for peace of mind. This means that I listen carefully to my clients. I explain the various estate planning techniques and documents in the most understandable terms that I can. I try to make sure that my clients are comfortable with what we are doing together before proceeding, and I discuss my fees up front so the clients don't get any unwanted surprise. Estate planning and probate don't have to be that complicated. My experienced staff and I work closely with our clients to guide them through both of these matters in the simplest and most efficient manner possible. My office is located in the White Office Building at 555 Southeast 99th Avenue, Suite 101, right across the street from Mall 205. My telephone number is 971-229-0585, and my website is carljepsonlaw.com.
What you don't know can hurt you. Get that investing question or that tax question answered. Call Chuck or Kevin now at 503-417-9595 or toll free at 877-733-1011. Now, here's Chuck Price and Kevin Stege.
Well, welcome back to Investing Simplified, and this is kind of our open line Saturday, so this is a chance for you to pick up the phone, give us a call, ask that question that's been keeping you up at night. Are worrying you about retirement. We've got a caller on the line. I think this caller is a longtime listener and a longtime caller, and he always has insightful questions. Lee, are you there?
Yes, I am. Thanks very much, and I'm blushing for that from that intro.
Well, you can pay me later.
All right, will do. All right, here's the question. A short while ago when you had Harry Dent on, he mentioned tax breaks being a free lunch. And so I'm wondering what you guys would do, both you and Kevin, maybe your top three suggestions for our tax situation. And let me give you some examples. Yeah, it's a free lunch for everybody. I work in a local grocery store chain, and the Portland economy is booming, along with its real estate market. And I see young people coming through with food stamp cards. And they're ordering food that I can't afford as a working person. And then with the cash, getting microbrews and all that. So they're getting what looks to be like a free lunch. And then there's tax laws set up for the rich with lots of breaks and investment and real estate investments and loopholes all over the place for the wealthier. So they're getting a free lunch. And finally, you've got the corporations who years ago were declared that they were a person, and then they really started to get away with a free lunch and kind of hold local economies hostage, saying, hey, you either give us a ton of tax breaks or we're going to move our business to another state or overseas. And I've seen statistics over the years that showed that in the past, businesses would pay a pretty healthy chunk of the taxes in an area. And now the burden has fallen much more significantly on your middle class workers. They're the ones that are taking care of the taxes. So everybody wants a free lunch. Everybody wants lower taxes, and yet we expect to have all sorts of services and so on. So what would you guys do, you and Kevin, say your top three things that you would do to change this situation and make things more equitable and more reasonable? And I'll get off the line so you guys can work your magic here, and thanks very much.
Well, good, interesting question, Lee. I think I would start out with, I don't think it's a tax issue that's our problem. And that's a surface level thing. As with most things, we spend our time swirling around on the surface issues, especially in politics. He said, she said, all these different things. But ultimately, for me, what it comes down to, if you just keep drilling down, what's really underlying this issue? What's underlying this issue? What's underlying this issue? And you keep getting down, down, down. For me, it ultimately comes down to what's your basis. Get philosophical here. What's your basis for right and wrong? And how does that apply to your worldview? How does that apply to our government and our method of government of democracy and capitalism and religious and personal liberties and freedom? pretty darn good country we have if we protect those things and we realize that there is a right and a wrong, and it does affect our opinions and our perspective on all of those things. So to get off my philosophical soapbox and go up to the surface level of tax stuff, ultimately, whatever system we have for taxation of our citizens has to be a fair system by a neutral observer. I think everyone kind of looks at it from their own perspective and feels that maybe they pay too much for in their particular situation. To some degree, I think I can be fairly neutral because I see so many different situations from retired folks to young folks, people with debt, people with a lot of money, businesses, small businesses, some pretty big businesses, some very wealthy folks. And to some degree, it's, you know, the wealthy pay a lot of taxes. So when you talk about a dollar tax cut, a percent, you know, it does affect them more, but well, they pay a lot of taxes.
Yeah, here's the thing, Lee, and I'm going to chime in here with Kevin. Here's the fact. This is an actual fact, folks. So anybody out there who's listening wants to debate me on this, go ahead. But the top 20% taxpayers in America pay 87% of the taxes. That's a fact. So I guess you could say the other 80% is only paying 13%. So that's a pretty good deal. But I've been following Harry since the 1990s. That doesn't mean I believe everything Harry Dent says or I agree with Harry Dent on everything he says. In fact, one of the things I've totally disagreed with Harry on a couple of main events. One thing, and I even told him so at one of his events in front of about 600 people. Harry Dent referred to Social Security as a benefit. What's the word I'm looking
entitlement.
For?
Entitlement.
Entitlement. I stood up and said, hey, wait a minute, Harry. I paid into that for 45 freaking years. Are you telling me I'm entitled to get my own money back? Because that's about all I'm getting. If you account for interest and the fact that I put it in, my employer matched it. And as a self-employed guy, I do double. So I've been paying that myself out of my pocket. I don't call that an entitlement. I call that getting my freaking money back. So we disagree on that. I totally disagree with Harry that it's a free lunch when I get my money back. That's like me giving Kevin 10 bucks, lend Kevin 10 bucks, and then Kevin doesn't pay me back. He says, oh, well, here, I'm going to give you 5 back, but you got a free lunch.
I'm okay with that.
Yeah, I'd be okay with that every day. Yeah, but the thing is, folks, that's not a free lunch when you're getting your own money back. And I totally disagree with him on that. Do I think we have a fair tax structure? No. I think we have a spending problem in America. In America, we want to do everything for everybody. You know, it's like when they want to give everybody a house. You can't just give everybody a house. The fact is, if you give them a house, they'll probably destroy it. And at the end of the day, they'll probably move out and get back on the street anyhow. You can't do that. You have to teach people from the basic fundamentals of life. And like Kevin said, if you don't have values, I get a big kick when I hear these politicians say about their values. Oh, their values are to lie, cheat, steal, break the law, and get away with it? That's called values? I mean, I'm sorry, but my dad would be giving me the belt if I had those kind of values. And I probably should have it coming. So, you know, to me, taking people's money and misusing it is stealing. In any sense of the word, is stealing. Taking my money and saying you're going to do one thing with it and do another thing with it, if we did that in business, we'd be in jail. Politicians do it every single day. The county does it. The city does it. The state does it. The federal government does it.
But it's justified in their eyes and pretty vehemently justified because of their perspective that, hey, it's for the good of all of society and its wealth redistribution. I mean, it's those types of perspectives that, like I said, you got to keep drilling down to come to what really is your values and what are you about?
Yeah, you absolutely. You got to go. You got to cut it down to the values and what you really believe. And I think most Americans want to be treated fairly. They want their money spent wisely. Most Americans try to spend their own money wisely. Some do a good job. Some don't do so good a job. But most people try to spend their money wisely. Most people try to be accountable for what they're doing. But it boils down to what your beliefs are and your values. And unfortunately, we have a lot of people in this country that have warped values.
Yep.
It's okay for them to lie, look you in the eye and lie to you. It's okay for them to take money and not pay it back. Those are not good values. So anyway, here we are, we're talking about a country who knows how to spend money. Where as of 1:49 yesterday afternoon when I did my stock report, we are $21.146 trillion in debt. This is one place Harry and I agree on. I believe the next crisis is going to be our national debt, because in actuality, we're about $200 trillion in debt. If you plug in Social Security and social programs, which I think, again, we need to change the tax law on those. We need to change Social Security. We need to change it to getting the benefit, say, at 70, drawing it out over a longer period of time, but not letting people draw it so early in life, especially since people are living older. And I know that a lot of people don't like that, and I don't like it either. But the fact is, we're going to have to do it to save it. So there's going to have to be some gut-wrenching changes, folks. And look, if you take a look at your own Social Security statement, there's a notice right on it that tells you, and I believe it's by 2034, it's going to be reduced by, I think, 74 or 79% reduction if nothing changes. Well, with our government, nothing ever changes. They just kick it down the can down the road and say, we'll let the next Congress, we'll let the next president, we'll let the next guy. You know, that's why Trump's having to go meet with North Korea and for the first time actually confront North Korea on nuclear power and nuclear weapons, because our three previous presidents kicked the damn can down the road, and now we got a crisis. Because they wouldn't do it. They didn't take the responsibility to take care of it when they should have. In fact, there's a video out there where Trump back in 1998 or 1999 saying to Bill Clinton, you better take care of Korea now, because if you don't, they're going to have nuclear weapons. And guess what? They do, folks. So, you know, accountability has got to be on all sides. We're going to take a quick break and come back with Investing Simplified. You got a question? Give us a call. We'll gladly try to answer it. 503. What's that number here, Kevin?
417-9595.
There we go. Good. Okay. He's got his notes. I don't.
Or 877-733-1011.
Yep. We'll be right back with Investing Simplified.
Investing Simplified.
Are you concerned about your retirement income? Do you really understand how your Social Security benefits work? Price Financial Group Wealth Management has helped many seniors in Oregon and Washington maximize their Social Security benefits at retirement through using their Social Security seminar on demand. Now you can watch this valuable information in the comfort of your home by just going to www.pfgwm.com and click on the free Social Security kit. If you are serious about your retirement planning, you cannot afford to miss this opportunity. After all, you have invested your hard-earned dollars into Social Security all your working years. So shouldn't you get the maximum return you can get from those dollars? The future can be scary, and without a plan, it can be even scarier, especially when facing the unknown. What you don't know can hurt you. Get your free Social Security kit at pfgwm.com or call 503-253-3000.
What you don't know can hurt you. Get that investing question or that tax question answered. Call Chuck or Kevin now at 503-417-9595 or toll free at 877-733-1011. Now, here's Chuck Price and Kevin Stege.
Well, there are some things I do know, and one of them is I've been offering our listeners copies of books, and I got to tell you, I'm getting down to the end of them because I've had these books available that I will give to you for free. You don't have to schedule an appointment. You don't have to do anything. Just come by the office and pick up the books, and I'll give them to you for free. And why would I do that? Well, here's why. Because if you take the books and you read them, you'll become a client of mine because this is great information. I'm just saying, if you read the book, I'll give it to you for free. You don't have to sit down with me, do a meeting. Just stop by the office, and I've had a lot of people call and come by. I'm giving away 4 free books to anybody who wants to stop by the office and read them. The first book is called The Top 10 IRA Mistakes, How to Avoid IRA Tax Traps by a good friend of mine, David F. Royer. And on the back of the cover is my information. Also, I have a book here called What You've Probably Never Heard This Before. What You Don't Know May Be Hazardous to Your Wealth. Mutual Funds Exposed, second edition. I tell you, this is a great book about why we think it. When you retire, you do not want to be owning mutual funds. The next two books are books that I wrote. One of them is a number one bestseller. And I got to tell you, if you want to find out if a guy's a bestseller, look at the cover of the book. If they don't have that seal on it, they're not telling you the truth. They're not a bestseller. And I hear guys advertising all the time they're a bestseller, but I don't see that seal on it. I got the seal on mine. It's a number one bestseller. It's called Your Retirement Made Simple. And I'm one of 4 financial advisors that do an interview process. It's kind of like a 60-minute thing on investing. And I got to tell you, it's a very good book, and I'm a little prejudiced about it. I don't make a penny off the book, by the way. So I'm giving them away for free. And I got to tell you, if you don't read it, it's your loss. The next book is a book that I actually spent 4 years writing called Investing Simplified. And I'll give you a free copy of that, too. I've got a few left, and I'll give you a free copy. So if you want to come by the office, any of those 4 books, or all 4 books, if you want them, I'll give them to you absolutely free. Because knowledge is power. And if you have knowledge, you're the best client I could have. So I'm gonna, I got a caller here. Hey, last week, if you missed my show, I had Bruce Bussard on there. It was just Bruce and I. And Bruce is running for County Commissioner, District 2. And I think Bruce is on the line here as a follow-up. Bruce, are you there?
Doing, sir?
Well, I got to tell you, we offered to allow any of your competitors to come on my show. I have not heard from any of them. I guess they're afraid to come on the show. I offered on the air any of your competitors to come on the air with you and me, and we'd have a fair debate and talk about issues.
Well, in all due respect, Chuck, that's the issue. The fact of the matter is, I that's why I need to be elected, in all due respect, because I know the issues, if you will, that we're proceeding with. In fact, just recently, we left $100 million on the table on this Wapato jail situation. You got me? $100 million.
Who's accountable for that, Bruce?
That's quite a bit. I mean, the fact of the matter is, here's a piece of property that government owned, that we the people own, and was sold for $5 million. But what's so interesting about it, I went to the meeting last week, the man still hasn't put up the $5 million. He still hasn't put up the $5 million. And I'm talking about Marty Kehoe. You got me? He was the guy that took us through this whole process. You can check it all out. All you have to do is just Google Wapato Jail in one of the newspapers, whether it be especially the Tribune, if you will, and get the background. But the point I want to make is that there might be an opportunity, though, to still come out successfully with this deal, because we got to get those homeless folks off our streets and vet them. We've got to do that. That's a very important piece. And the bottom line is that some guy did stand up and came up to the table. His name was Herman Homer Williams, who basically owns a nonprofit, Oregon Harbor of Hope, put together a group of business folks and whatever, and offered $7 million for the place. Well, they overlooked it. And so there's Homer. But he's the guy that has been in this business. He knows the business. Kehoe, on the other hand, is just a developer. But he's a local developer. And the bottom line is that what an opportunity. We got local business folks that's willing to get get in there and solve that problem here within our great city. So in all due respect, I say to Kehoe, to Marty, Marty, he's local to get together with Homer Williams, get together with Homer Williams of Oregon Hope, Oregon Harbor of Hope, and therefore get together with that whole team and bottom line, and let's get this thing converted.
Hey, Bruce, I only got 5 minutes, and I got two more callers holding. So
I'll check in this week.
How does somebody get a hold of you?
How about 503-701-0457, or look at the Oregon Voters Digest, because I'm going to be doing a piece on Sanctuary State, Channel 11, Comcast, 4 o'clock.
Okay, and listen, get a hold of me this week. I want to talk to you about the veteran thing. So
I appreciate it, Chuck.
Okay, thanks, Bruce. You bet.
Good show, by the way.
Hey, thank you very much.
Okay, bud.
Hey, you bet. We've got a caller on the line here. We're going to try to get to everybody. Jim, you've got a question about national sale.
Hi, I've been a fan of national sales tax replacing all taxation on income, and I wanted to get your feedback on that. It seems like really the best and most fair way to go, because those who have money buy more, and they would pay their sales tax. The key to it, obviously, is that it replaces everything, and there are, you know, it's been worked out to where, you know, food and certain essential things would not be taxable, but those who have money, spend it, there's your income, and those who don't have the money aren't going to be taxed because they're not spending, but it would capture all of your illegal purchases, you know, those who don't pay taxes otherwise, who try to skirt around things, et cetera. I just have always thought that was a great idea.
What about property tax?
I don't know how that one works.
Yeah, because you know, part of the revenue, tax revenue, comes back to states. So one of the concerns about doing a national sales tax versus income tax, to my thinking, and I personally like the idea of a sales tax and do away with income tax. I think it'd be we'd save a lot of money by wiping out the IRS.
Right.
You know, and we get rid of a lot of corruption.
Yeah, they would still function as a collection agency, but they wouldn't have all of their oppressive invasion into your personal life, because you don't have to tell them how much you made and all your tax forms and all that stuff. It would just completely disappear. But you've got in America, generally, you've got, you know, guilty until proven, innocent until proven guilty. And the tax... In the tax court, you've got guilty until proven innocent. So they can come in and grab everything, et cetera. It's a separate court system. It's like, what? What's that all about?
Yeah,
it's a
pretty tough thing. I'm in favor of, I think there's some merit to the sales tax, national sales tax. I think the administration of going from an income to a sales tax, I mean, we couldn't even roll out something as, quote, simple, if you will, as, the Obamacare addition to all of this. And so it would just be brutal, unfortunately. Well, I think we have another.
Yeah, we've got one more caller. Listen, thanks for your call, Jim. We got to grab the other line here. So Kelly's got a question for Kevin about taxes. Kelly, are you there?
Yes. Hi, Chuck. I'm one of your clients, but I have a question for Kevin. Kevin, my husband was partially employed last year, and so we went on the National Health Exchange, and they underwrote our health insurance. He did get a job later in the year, and even though we told them when we signed up for the health care that we would probably make about $80,000 this year, when we did, they turned around and said, now you have to pay us back everything that we underwrote you for.
Yes.
So is there, I know according to the letter of the law, we probably do owe them. Is there any grace that they're extending these days, especially with that changing?
Right. Unfortunately, no, there is. Technically, the classification of this tax, if you will, is that's the penalty portion of it. I think the repayment of this, you're probably pretty well stuck with. I think it is capped at a certain limit, though. $2,600 or something along those lines. To where?
Oh, really?
Yeah. So you might check your tax return and see what the cap was for the amount of the repayment.
They wanted the whole. They wanted every dime back.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I don't know who prepped it, and I'd have to see your situation. But anyway, you can reach us at 503-666-5569.
Yeah, Kelly, I'd recommend you give Kevin a call off the air.
Okay, we'll do that.
Thank you. And thanks, listeners, for listening. We'll be back next Saturday. I won't be here. Kevin and Carl will be in the studio. And be sure to tune in to Investing Simplified. Have a great week, and God bless you all.
You can listen to past shows of Investing Simplified or sign up for our free newsletter at www.pfgwm.com. This show was brought to you by Price Financial Group Wealth Management Incorporated, a registered investment advisor firm located at 555 Southeast 99th Avenue, Suite 103, Portland, Oregon, 97216, 503-253-3000 or 877-50-PRICE. Investing Simplified is a registered trademark owned by Price Financial Group Wealth Management Incorporated.
Price Financial Group Wealth Management.
Navigating through today's financial investment world can seem pretty scary. Now, here's the good news. Chuck Price, president of Price Financial Group Wealth Management, introduces a new revolutionary concept that will change how you invest now and in the future. It's called Asset Lock. Asset Lock monitors your investment accounts 24/7, 365 and alerts you when action needs to be taken. And now, Chuck Price offers Asset Lock. At Price Financial Group Wealth Management, we believe all our clients deserve to have Asset Lock monitoring their accounts. So call Chuck today or online at pfgwm.com and learn how you can get Asset Lock on your accounts today for free. Price Financial Group Wealth Management, because the smart investor knows what you don't know can hurt you.
Simplify.
Call 503-253-3000. That's 503-253-3000.